Let me pray for us before we start, and then I'll read for us. Father, as we have already prayed this evening, would you open up our eyes? Would you soften our hearts? And would you help us to see very, very clearly what it is that you have done for us, who you are, and would you cause us to rejoice? Would you cause our hearts to be thankful? And would you cause us to give you the glory that you are due as individual Christians and as a church family as we look at your word this evening? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 122, a song of ascent of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There, thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls, security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Please keep that open in front of you. There is an outline, a rough outline of where we're heading this evening on the back of the service sheet that you should have received when you came in this evening, or perhaps it was sitting on a chair. I'm not sure how things are done around here. I'm sure it was in one of those two places. Let me take you back to the year 2013. It's a very, very snowy January. So snowy that I was becoming increasingly pessimistic and concerned about the train journey that I had planned to take me back to Edinburgh. We had been staying in a house just outside Wales, and it had been snowing non-stop overnight. And as more and more of the landscape around about us disappeared under the snow, we were just ever so slightly beginning to wonder how safe it was for us to travel home. News coming in of collisions on motorways. Those of us who had traveled by car set off on departure day as early as they possibly could to give themselves as much time as possible, as big a fighting chance as possible against the elements. Train departure boards were covered with delays and cancellations. Men and women are on phones, shaking snow off umbrellas, shaking snow off clothing, trying to explain their circumstances to bosses, to family members, to friends, to colleagues. Long, confused queues at the customer service window. Men and women, young and old, desperately trying to work out how they were going to complete what was quite a perilous journey. And I remember eventually taking a fairly convoluted route through places that I had never heard before and never knew existed. And hours later, finally getting the last train from Glasgow through to Edinburgh. What should have been a 4.5 hour train journey ended up being 14 hours of feeling cold, wet, and tired. And I remember returning home, collapsing, I'm sure, face first onto the sofa and thinking, I made it. I'm home. I remember then opening up my phone and seeing messages coming in from those of us who had been away with me, saying very, very similar things. We made it. We're home. And this evening, we're looking at a psalm sung by God's people 3,000 years ago on their journey to Jerusalem. The different tribes of God's people would go, travel to Jerusalem from their homes, from their lands, for festivals, for celebrations, all to celebrate God's goodness, to remember his care for them as his people. But we read in these psalms that the journey that they had to make to Jerusalem was often dangerous, arduous. And these psalms are the soundtrack to that journey. sung by God's people to praise the Lord, to encourage and remind one another, to teach one another of his care, his provision for his people. And so in Psalm 120, we would see God's people threatened by opposition on every side on their journey to Jerusalem, surrounded by lying tongues. We see in Psalm 121 that God relentlessly guards his people from their enemies. Their help comes from the Lord, Psalm 121 says, who made heaven and who made the earth. He will not stop until their journey is safely complete. And our psalm this evening completes the triplet of psalms. The precarious journey for God's people is finally complete. They arrive in Jerusalem. They are flooded with relief and joy. And they turn to one another and say, "We made it. We're here." Our first heading then this evening, God's people praise the Lord as they arrive at God's place. God's people praise the Lord as they arrive at God's place. Just in the first two verses of our psalm this evening, look with me. King David, the earthly king of God's people, has, for whatever reason, been away from Jerusalem for some time. We're not told explicitly why, perhaps on a military incursion, perhaps on a diplomatic one. But those who are with him, they turn to him and they say, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And these words are music to King David's ears. And so he says again in verse 1, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" This psalm is a song of joy. And it's important that we see that right from the start of our time looking at Psalm 122 this evening. It'll help us to understand the mood. It'll help us to understand the tone and the meaning of the words of the king. David writes this entire psalm. God's people sing this entire psalm with smiles beaming across their faces. And when they arrive in Jerusalem, verse 2, it's as if David turns to those around him and turns to us reading this evening and says, "Can you believe where I am?" "Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." David's gladness is to finally go back to the city of God's people, synonymous with God's protection. And whilst King David might be the lead singer, this is not a solo performance. Not only is he glad, but all the people are glad too. The language used throughout the psalm is plural. Us, our feet, all of God's people are to sing along with this psalm. King David's joy is shared by generations of God's people as they sing this song of gladness and praise time and time again on their journey back to Jerusalem thousands of years ago. And it's a psalm that sounds all the sweeter as track number 3 on the playlist. The first two songs have been cries for rescue, cries for safety, promises made by God, and then promises fulfilled by God. Psalm 122 leaves us in no doubt that he is powerful enough, not only to promise that he will protect God's people, but then actually make it happen. The threats facing them along the way were serious, and yet God's people have every reason to praise the Lord for his relentless protection, for his salvation that he gives them, for rescue from their enemies as they arrive in God's place. We're here. Secondly, God's people proclaim the unity and the justice of God's place. Verses 3-5, God's people proclaim the unity and the justice of God's place. One long-standing habit of mine, and lockdown has really only exacerbated this, is spending far too much time online watching interviews with musicians and artists as they explain the reasons, the rationale, the inspiration behind writing the songs that they write. And if any one of those interviewers that I've seen, or perhaps you have seen as well, were sitting with King David on a radio show or a TV show and said to him, David, we can see in this psalm that you're clearly a big, big fan of the city of Jerusalem and the God who has guided you there. Just talk us through why you feel that way. King David would give us a very, very clear answer. Without any hesitation, he would tell you that God's people are united to one another under God's justice. So look with me at verse 3. Jerusalem, built as a city that is firmly bound together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. God's people are living bound firmly together in this city, in Jerusalem, united in their thankfulness to the Lord who has guided them safely there. There is absolutely no hint of any bickering. There is no infighting. There is no racial tension, no political divisions, no frustration felt towards neighbors or other groups. Instead, they feel sheer joy at being united to God's people in God's place, in obedience to him. And King David shows us in verse 5 the cement holding the unity of God's people together. He says there, thrones for judgment were set, thrones for the house of David. See, right at the heart of this community of God's people, tribes gather together from across the lands to give thanks to the Lord for all he has done. And as they come together in unity, the judgment seat of the good king keeps them united. The reason why it was such a safe and such a wonderful place for King David, for God's people, the reason why King David is so glad to be there is because God's justice, his word, is maintained and upheld. See, David knows the joy and the gladness of a city and a people where true godly justice is provided by a true leader, a true king, to truly bring a nation together, bind them together, despite all that would separate them. It's something that we would all desperately want, not only for our own country, but for our own churches, isn't it? We do have this innate desire for perfect justice, perfect leadership, harmony with one another under both. No corruption, no division along lines of race or class, no double standards from politicians, from media, from family, from friends of ours. All of this is something for which we would desperately, desperately yearn. And yet the truth is that often it all seems so hopelessly, hopelessly far away from us. Peace within our communities, peace from our enemies, a people united to one another in praise to a good God, a righteous king, his perfect rule. Doesn't it sound excellent? It's the ending that we would all want to the story of our lives. And King David says in this psalm that it's only to be found as those who trust in the Lord gather together under his word, under his rule, under his justice. It's only to be found as we collectively bind ourselves together, listen to God's judgment, listen to his laws, listen to his commands, and to bow the knee. No other reign, no other rule will ever achieve what our Lord can. See, these are the things that David would want us to spot on our visit to Jerusalem. And I think if we're starting to lean into the psalm, if we're starting to lean into Psalm 122, to find out more about this place, to find out more about this Jerusalem, and how we get there and what it might be like for us to be there sitting here this evening. If we're starting to smile in the same way that King David smiles as he sings this psalm, if we're starting to dare to imagine that such a place could possibly exist, Psalm 122 is doing its job. Here is the people united in peace and in praise of the Lord, proclaiming the unity and the justice of God's place. And then our third heading this evening, God's people pray for the peace of God's place. Verses 6-9, look with me. God's people pray for the peace of God's place. We mentioned earlier that in these Psalms, God's people faced real external threats, external conflicts, the verbal and physical opposition of other nations. And yet King David understands that God's people also face the threat of internal conflict. Yes, King David praises the Lord for the unity and the justice within Jerusalem. And then he implores God's people to pray to God that it stays that way. So verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls, security within your towers. See, the sad reality is that throughout the history between God and his people, Jerusalem often fell very, very short of the standards that God had set. Jerusalem did not always look like verses 3-5. In fact, real problems, danger, a rejection of God, a rejection of his justice, a rejection of his word. These things often came from within the city, within the sinful hearts of his people. The tribes were not always united to one another. They often shunned the joy and the peace of the unity that the Lord offered them and made for them. And it always, always led to absolutely disastrous consequences. And so King David says, pray. Pray that God would stop anything that might threaten the peace and the security of the city to creep into the community of God's people. Pray that every relationship within Jerusalem, between God's people, between God and his people, may every relationship know the wonderful peace that comes under the unity of God's command. And let's not take it for granted. So verse 8, for my brothers and companions' sake, I will say peace within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Psalm 122 praises God, proclaims his peace, proclaims his unity, his justice, but it's also a prayer that the city, God's people, will live under the name of the Lord and live up to the name of the Lord. It's a prayer that acknowledging that whilst his people should live by his laws, his people should live by his standards, so often we don't. So often we fall short. So often we need God to intervene to keep us united under his justice, under his rule. It's a communal prayer led by the King of God's people to God, acknowledging that God's people cannot do this on their own strength. That God's people will need God himself if they are to live in harmony with one another according to his laws. Now imagine with me the thousands of men, women, children, all of God's people arriving in Jerusalem, all singing these words together. That song, this psalm, will serve as a huge line of defense against disunity, a huge line of defense for the sake of his name as the world watches on. A huge line of defense for the sake of our brothers and companions as we collectively try to follow Jesus in his strength. Singing these words is a prayer to God and a lesson that we teach one another. It's a cry to God to maintain the unity that we enjoy in a church like St. Andrew's Free Church. And it's a cry to one another to work towards that unity in his strength. It's a cry that God will keep us united, all for his glory, all for his praise. So we've seen tonight, God's people praise the Lord as they arrive in Jerusalem. God's people proclaim the unity and the justice of God's place, and they pray for the peace of God's people in God's place. And if you fast forward 1,000 years after this psalm was written, you would see the great King of God's people, Jesus, walking into Jerusalem with his followers. But rather than welcoming the justice, rather than welcoming the authority of the king, rather than listening to his word, the justice, the authority, his throne of judgment, all of these things are rejected. Those in charge did not bend the knee to the rightful king. Their response was not one of prayerful thankfulness, but they nailed the king of God's people to a cross. But then wonderfully, just as he said he would, Jesus rises from the dead and promises one day that he will return, this time to lead his people to the new Jerusalem that we were reading about earlier on. Jesus, our good King, promises an eternal end to the lies, the hostility, and the war as they threaten God's people, not just 2,000 years ago, but today and until he returns. Our good King, he promises an eternal heavenly city where there is no more death, there is no more dying, there is no more sin or sickness or suffering, where the tribes of the world will gather together to praise the Lord, as Psalm 122 promises, in thankfulness. In fact, King David's description of Jerusalem here sounds in many ways very, very similar to the greater King Jesus' description of what will happen when he comes back, except the New Jerusalem will be even better. So we should spend lots of time thinking of that new creation, thinking of the New Jerusalem that Jesus promised, thinking about it as everything that Psalm 122 foreshadows, points towards. Our guaranteed eternity for those who follow Jesus, for those who follow the King to the New Jerusalem, our guaranteed eternity is unity to one another forever, full of praise and thankfulness, under the righteous judgment of our Jesus, sat on his throne as our good King. It hasn't happened yet. It will happen in the future. Jesus, our King, blazed the trail through his death and resurrection. And if we believe in him, if we're united to him, we will too. We will be called home to be with our King Jesus. We will look around us with gladness and thankfulness and say, we made it. We're home. So two very, very quick things as I finish. I've said that a lot this evening. I promise you these really, really are quick this time. First, please, please sing. Sing of the New Jerusalem on your way there. There are so many wonderful, wonderful things for God's people to enjoy on the journey to the New Jerusalem. So many things for us to enjoy this side of eternity. But there is so much more that makes us yearn for the reality of Psalm 122 to be fulfilled for us. So as a church family, as individuals, sing. Sing of the justice. Sing of the safety that will be yours forever. Sing of the unity that will be yours forever. Sing it loudly so that one another hears the song. It's really, really important for us to spend time encouraging and helping one another through the journey. But it's also really, really important not just to talk about the journey and sing of the journey, but also to sing of where we're going. There is a day coming where there will be perfect peace with God's people, united under the judgment throne of God's Son. You know the threats that would stop you from having your eyes fixed on the New Jerusalem. You know what would cause you to fix your eyes on the things of this world instead. Do not fall into those temptations. As you journey there, sing. Sing in a way that stops the threats that would try and infiltrate the unity and the peace that you enjoy with the Lord, with one another. Do whatever you can to extend your hands out to one another, inside, outside the church, and say, you'll never guess where we're spending eternity. Second, and with this I close, whilst we experience all of this in all of its fullness in the future, the reality of everything we've seen this evening still collides with us in the present, in the here and now. Think back with me to the last time you were in IKEA or an equivalent furniture shop. And you remember walking around the store and seeing showrooms, very, very clear examples of what the room was going to look like when it had been finished. You can see very, very clearly from the showroom what the eventual reality will be. And one of the letters in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, says this to God's people in chapter 12 of Hebrews. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to the thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn. Your names are written in heaven, as we were thanking God for earlier on this evening. See, our citizenship is secure in that new Jerusalem. That's where we belong. That's where we're heading. So let's start living that way now. This church, Chalmers, churches across the country should all be showrooms. Showrooms of what the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city, is going to look like. And that is why we smile when we see people from all over the world crossing boundaries and divisions that would never normally be crossed to be at a local church together, to sit on a Sunday under God's word. It's why we flinch and we lament when we hear stories within the church of scandal, abuse, and we think, no, that's not who we are. It's not where we're spending our eternity. Instead, our churches today are to be places where we praise the Lord for what he has done, where God's people unite to one another across every tribe, bow the knee in thankfulness. And one day we'll arrive in the New Jerusalem, turn to one another as God's people, and say, we made it. We're home. What a wonderful promise. Let me pray for us as we close. Father, we thank you for uniting your people together under your word, under your judgment. And we pray, Father, for the peace of your people. We pray, Father, that as you have united us to one another, you would help us by your spirit in your strength to maintain that unity. And Father, all of these things we pray so that we may arrive one day in the New Jerusalem, look at you full of gratitude and thankfulness, and say, we made it. We're home. All these things, Father, we pray for our salvation and for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.